Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. This week is no exception. We've got a very special return guest, Dr. Joe Vitale from The Secret. A little bit more about Dr. Joe. He's president of Hypnotic Marketing, a marketing consulting firm. He's been called the Buddha of the Internet for his combination of spirituality and marketing acumen. He's had so many great books, The Attractor Factor, There is a Customer Born Every Minute, Life's Missing Instruction Manual, so many more. Here we go with the interview. So Guys Guys Radio, I'm so thrilled to welcome back to the show wonderful, the amazing, the one and only Dr. Joe Vitale. We're going to get to it right away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it's the interview portion of our show, and I'm so honored and pleased to bring back a very special guest who was my guest on my 500th episode a few years ago, Dr. Joe Vitale. He's got a new book. It's fantastic. It's called Zero Limits Living. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Joe. He went from homeless to becoming one of the world's renowned motivating instructors, known for millions of fans as Mr. Fire. His independent film, Zero Limits, is in production now. It's going to come out at the end of 2025 or sometime there. We'll talk about it again. A couple of last things about Dr. Joe, because he's got so much going on. President of the Napoleon Hill Institute, and he's such a he respects the leaders of the past so much in the spiritual area, and he brings them forth. It's almost like the Rolling Stones playing, you know, bringing out the old blues players. Dr. Joe is like the Stones that way. He just received the U.S. President Lifetime Achievement Award and is a recipient of the L.A. Tribune's Lifetime Achievement Award 2021. And I'm so pleased you're back. Sorry for the long introduction, Dr. Joe, but welcome back to Guys Guys Radio.
Oh, it's great to be back. I've missed you. I so enjoyed our episode last time. So let's do another one.
All right. So let's talk about the new book. It's called Zero Limits Living. Just as a little bit of context, you had another book called Zero Limits and another one in the Zero Limits kind of area. And they were based on the Ho'oponopono and the teachings of Dr. Luin.
Dr. Luin.
And I was so blown away by it that I started reading about Ho'oponopono. I took your course. By the way, the course was very affordable, fantastic. I got certified. And, you know, it's a little tricky to understand and get and process Ho'oponopono. But once you do, and once you start cleaning up yourself and seeing the world through these different lives of different eyes of I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Everything changes. So I do it every day. Thank you, Dr. Joe, for introducing me and so many to that practice. It's just absolutely wonderful.
It is. I am a very lucky person because I stumbled across it, realized the power of it, and also saw that nobody was telling the world. And I worked with Dr. Hulin, who was the therapist who helped heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals using this method, and wrote the first book, Zero Limits. And 10 years later, I wrote a book called At Zero. And then after that, I wrote The Fifth Phrase. And then most currently is Zero Limits Living. So it's been an evolutionary process, but it all began with Ho'oponopono and Dr. Hu Len and the discovery of a tool and technique that anybody could use at any time, no cost, no obligation. And yet you can transform your life in a moment.
You know, it's amazing. Anytime I run into a difficult person or a difficult, challenging situation, I just Ho'oponopono. I clean it and it helps. And it's almost, I don't want to say it's instantaneous, but it happens very quickly. And it's really a good thing. And it's not like snap, everything changes, but you will be surprised at some of the things that do happen that are like, oh, wow, I can't believe I just Ho'oponopono this situation or this person. And it changed. It shifted, if you will. So thank you for that. Amazing stuff. So let's get to the new book, Zero Limits Living. I just finished it, and it's got three pillars in there that you talk about, mindset, motion, and mysticism. And you mentioned at the beginning of the book, Dr. Joe, that it was an illumination that brought together your entire life experience in self-help and metaphysics, spirituality. Everything came together in a flash of light, flash of insight that became what you say ended up as Zero Limits Living. So let's start there. What was the inspiration for the book, and how did this all come together?
Well, it was a lightning bolt. It was a lightning bolt of spiritual inspiration that awakened me to a synthesis. And anybody who knows my career knows I've written a lot of books. In fact, somebody's counted them and they said I've written over 90 books. And even I didn't know that. But the 90 books, they're in various areas. They're in various topics. You can find a book on Ho'oponopono, like Zero Limits. You can find a book on the Law of Attraction, like The Attractor Factor. You can find a book on the evolution of consciousness, like the Awakening book, the Awakening Course that I've written. But all of these, in retrospect, were pieces of a puzzle. They were slices. They were topics that were isolated from a whole. And what happened to me is that I'm minding my own business, but meditating and being available to inspiration and what the divine wants to tell me. And there was what I call a thunderbolt. It was this lightning strike that went down my spine and created this illumination. And I remember I drew this diagram to kind of anchor the moment for myself and to explain it. And the way this really shaped up, as you know, because you just read the book, is that I found that there were three pillars that all had to be taken, almost like a chair that has three legs, so that this can get you through life and help you get the serenity and the results that you've been striving for. That most people focus on one of the three pillars and forget the other two if they even knew about them. Or if they're lucky, they focus on two of the pillars, but there's still a third, and you need all three in order to have this flourishing life where things work and you can go in a day-by-day basis or even moment-by-moment basis and feel more of the magic and miracles and attract more of what you want. So I found that this brought everything together into a whole. The whole puzzle came together, and I saw it, felt it, started to live from it, and now I'm sharing it whenever anybody gives me a chance to talk about it, and including in the new book, Zero Limits Living.
You know, it's amazing because you say that your objective of the book is to help people get results. And so many people get involved in the spiritual area or the self-help area or the manifestation area, if you will, and they get stuck. And I think the way you broke out the three pillars, mindset, motion, mysticism, you've got to have the right frame of mind, and you get into all of that, then you have to do things. And you say, money loves speed. I know it's my favorite quote of yours. And also the spirituality, the understanding that we're a drop in the ocean, yet we're the ocean. So talk to us about how that all works together, Dr. Joe.
Well, maybe the way to illustrate this is to talk about the way most people do it, which is incorrect. And the way most people do it is they pick one slice. They pick one piece of the puzzle. For example, you had mentioned the mysticism, which is one of my favorite things. I love mysticism. Mysticism is spirituality. That's the esoteric, the invisible side of life. It is a very powerful place to be. However, if somebody says, oh, I just want to live in a cave, I just want to do God's bidding, I just want to meditate, I just want to be in silence, they have completely missed the rest of the life experience. They have actually crippled their enjoyment of material reality by saying, I only want to experience this invisible side of life. And in many ways, that's self-protection. they're protecting themselves from making mistakes, from feeling, from failures, from learning experiences, and they're deluding themselves by saying, oh, I'm being spiritual. One of the worst egos anybody could have is a spiritual ego, right? Because they sit there going, well, I'm doing this, and this is the highest that anybody could be. And I'm chuckling because I've been there too. I understand that mentality. But we are spiritual beings in a material world, and we are here to enjoy the life experience, including the gifts and the goodies of material reality. We don't want to be caught up with them or attached to them, and that's where the mysticism becomes more practical, where you can be a mystic in the marketplace. But again, Robert, that's only one of the legs, and some people just focus on that. Okay, I'm being spiritual. Another mistake is when somebody forgets the spiritual and says, hell with that, I don't even believe in a God or a divine or the esoteric, but I do believe in money. And so what they're doing is action, and they're type A behavior. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to get all I can, and they just take action, action, action. And as a result, they slowly get sick or quickly get sick. They lose their happiness. They lose their health. They lose their well-being. They may lose their relationships. They may lose happiness. They may lose everything in this quest for something that they're running after and sprinting action or after. And again, action is important. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a results-oriented guy. I tell people, if I only sat and thought about being an author, I never would have been on this show. There'd be no books to show unless I actually took action. So action is very important, but it's only one of the pillars. And if you only focus on that and you don't take care of the first pillar, which is the mindset, then the actions you take may not actually get you any of the results you want. Because the other pillar is mindset. And a lot of people just focus on that. I'm just going to think positive. I'm just going to visualize what I want. I'm just going to use mind power and internal power to create my reality. But then they don't take any action, which means they're not going to create their reality except as an empty hole. And they don't bring in the spirituality, which means they don't have the inner direction from the great something to help them guide through life. So this is why I say all three of them have to come together. If it's mindset only, you'll feel good and you'll be broke. You won't manifest most of the things you're dreaming about, because life is a co-creation. This is one of the big secrets. Life is a co-creation. There are ways to make what you do easier and how you think easier, but you still have a part to play in the role of life. So the mindset's important, but you just can't rely on it alone. You got to get up and do the second pillar, which is take action. You take the action based on the positive mindset and what you see is the next thing to do, but you also include the mysticism, which kind of guides you into what the actions are that you should be taking. So all three of these come together, and now you're a superhuman, super normal, super powerful force that can accomplish by God miracles, because you're thinking better, bigger than ever before. You're taking actions that are actually relevant to get results, and you've got the power of the universe, the God, the divine, the great something, Gaia, whatever you want to call it, that's actually living and breathing through you to get these results handled. Exciting stuff.
It's a great way of expressing it. God living through us. Like Neil Donald Walsh said, God experiences itself through us, which is,
that's,
I think,
exactly
something
that's true.
We forget that all the time. But let's go to the beginning, if we would, Dr. Joe, because I think that mindset, people get stuck at the beginning. And sometimes they can't get to the motion where, you know, you've got to do something and then attach it to the spirituality. But I think for the majority of people, I don't know what your experience has been, but it seems to me, from what I have heard, people get stuck at the very beginning in that they have limiting beliefs that are almost inherent that they have to get over, or that little voice inside when they say, I'm going to do this, says, no, you're not.
Well, it all begins there. And for most people, they didn't even get to the game because they listened to that voice that said, that's all BS. I still remember when I was broke and I was in poverty, and I had this landlord who was very skeptical and very rough. And I told him I was reading Norman Vincent Peale's the magic or the power of positive thinking.
Okay, right.
And he said, "You believe that BS?" And he was far more blunt than that, because in his mind, in his world, that made no difference. Positive thinking made no difference whatsoever in your life. Life was still gotta suck. You're still gotta struggle. You're still gotta die. That was his mindset, which meant he never even got to the game. He never got to the playing field. If somebody, this is what I was doing back then, am reading the self-help books, and I start to question them a little bit and question myself a little bit, now I get on the playing field. Now I can come to bat, because now I'm looking at my self-talk. For most of us, we don't even know that our self-talk is the monkey mind, and it's not us. Right. This is why a lot of the work is in that first pillar, that first dimension, that first base, if you want to continue with this baseball analogy kind of a thing. Because what we're doing is we're looking at our self-talk, and our self-talk can say, this is all BS, and you quit right there. Or you can say, I'm going to start arguing with my mind a little bit, or maybe I'll start developing a more positive part of my mind a little bit. Now you're in the game, and now you got some work to do. But if at any time you give up and give in to that voice of doom and gloom, then you're out of the game again. You get benched. One of my favorite books by anybody, and my favorite book by Napoleon Hill, was one that came out after he passed, only in recent years. And it was called, and is called, Outwitting the Devil. Outwitting the Devil. Napoleon Hill's book was never published in his lifetime. Everybody thought it would be too controversial. It's a conversation with the devil, for God's sake. I read the book, and my hands started to sweat, and I put the book down thinking, this is too uncomfortable. He's talking about a devil. Like, this is the pitchfork devil. And then I realized when I picked the book up again and started reading more, he's talking about my own mind can be the devil. And this is the kind of inner wrestling we have to do in order to get to any sort of taking action or any sort of relationship with mysticism or the divine. It all begins with that early self-talk. And it does get easier if you have a coach or you have a mentor or you're in a mastermind, you're with people that support you in this inner transformation. For me, during the homeless and poverty years, I was by myself reading borrowed books from the library. So it took a long time for me to kind of subdue the devil of my own mind to get to some place where I can take action.
What are a couple of things that folks who don't have mentors or coaches, even though we have so much of this information available to us online and through books, what are some things that people can do if they feel that their negative chatter is getting the best of them? How can they start to turn that chatter around to be an ally for them?
I love that question, and I'm a very practical guy, so I'm glad that we're giving concrete
tips. That's why I asked
it. Yeah, we're giving concrete tips to people, so I want to be of the most value. I think 10 years ago when I had turned 60, I wanted to be a musician,
right.
And I went through all the inner turmoil because I thought, oh, cool, I'm going to be a magician or a musician. Always dreamed about it. I had guitars, but I wanted to put a band together, learn how to sing, learn how to play, learn how to write songs, go in a studio, record. And the first thing that happened to me was sheer terror. Sheer terror, because I thought, what in the world? I'm 60 years old. Again, this was 11 years ago because I'm in my 70s now. And even though I wrote all these self-help books, I was in the movie The Secret, you would think like, well, Joe's got this handled. He's got to be able to do this in his sleep. It's like, no way. Whenever you try to do something new, you're going to hear all the doubts, all the fears, all the concerns. They're all going to bubble up. That is actually a good thing. So we state our intention, and I'm inviting everybody listening or watching, state your intention. What do you want to have, do, or be? I wanted to be a musician. And then notice what starts barking in your brain. Everything from I'm too old, I'm too young, I have no experience, I have no talent, all this stuff works for everybody else, it doesn't work for me. All of that chatter, those are the limiting beliefs. The next thing we want to do is cross-examine them. We want to go, is it true that you can't do this? Is it true that you're too old or too young or uneducated or untalented? Is that true that it could stop you? And if your answer is yes, then you want to ask, why is it true? Where is your evidence for believing this limitation? And there'll be a story that comes up, something from your past, something somebody said. And then you want to look at that with the light of conscious awareness so you can take the energy off of it and be free from it. The other technique I want to give, because this was so powerful, when I decided I want to be a musician and I was a nervous wreck, I signed up for a small songwriting workshop. There were only like five people in it. It was in the Texas area where I was living, and two of the people leading it were well-known Texas authors and musicians. And I remember one of them, Ray Wiley Hubbard is his name. Ray Wiley Hubbard admitted he still had doubts, he still had concerns, he still had fears, and he's already an accomplished. He was on the big talk shows. He's got albums out there, well-known, well-respected Texas musician. But he said, I learned to ask a question that took the fears away. And I never forgot this. He said, I learned to ask the question, where's the proof that I can't do this? Where's Love the it. Proof that I can't do this? I got chills right now. And I remember at one point, at this point, I've recorded 15 albums, which amazes even me. And the reason being, once you get rid of the negativity and the limitations, you accelerate to your end results. You manifest faster than ever before because the thing that was slowing you down were your own beliefs. And I remember I was going to play on stage with my band. I put together this band, and they are legends, so I called them the Band of Legends. They got far more experience than me. And we went on stage, and my God, we got a standing ovation. We got a standing ovation. And Rolling Stone mentioned two of my albums, and some of my music's been used in movies, including my movie that'll be coming out. And I had some songs I wrote nominated for the Posse Award, which is the Grammys of positive music. All of this is to say, when I decided to be a musician, I was terrified. But what I did were the very techniques I write about and teach, and I talk about in the new book, Zero Limits Living, including the one Ray Wiley Hubbard said, ask yourself, where's the proof that you can't do this? Because the reality is, there is no proof. There isn't any proof. You are free to go ahead and go for your dreams and then get the information and the feedback, assess it, adapt, and move forward.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. My special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, the one and only Dr. Joe Vitale. We're talking about the new book, Zero Limits Living. It's very practical. It has some meditations in it. It has some exercises to do. And it's really straight to the point with the three areas: get the right mindset, get in action, and then contact and get connected with source, because source will help you. So the second part of that, Dr. Joe, is getting started. So once you get your mindset there, a lot of people have trouble making that first move, taking that first step, which is the most important. And I know for you, for your writing, you just do it. And I love that. And you don't think about it. I mean, you think about what you're writing, but you lay out an outline, maybe. You collect, I remember you collected files in a book about something about you didn't know that much about. So you collected all the information, you got yourself organized, and you just went forward and you didn't let fear get in the way or excuses. Help people, our audience out there, with how to take that first step. That most critical step in the process is really the first one.
Which is a great point. The good news is, when you do take care of the first pillar, which is the mindset, it's easier and natural and organic to go ahead and take those beginning steps. Because when you take care of the mindset, the things that were stopping you are no longer there. The doubts, the concerns, the inner criticisms, they've all evaporated. And so you just look at, oh, I want to write a book, and you start typing. Now, I have done this enough, and I talk about it in the new book, that I've heard from people who say that they don't know where to begin.
Right.
They're either overwhelmed or they're just plain lost. And so I quote Teddy Roosevelt, and I love him. In fact, I was wearing his T-shirt yesterday that said his quote, do what you can with what you have right where you are. Oh, that's it. That's it. Do what you can right where you are with what you have. And that really kind of reduces everything to a very simple level. The other thing I tell people is, there's always a baby step. There's always a baby step that you can take. If somebody wants to open a business and they're thinking, well, I'm going to put this online. All right, what's the baby step? Go get the domain name. You know, if you're going to have a bank account, go to the bank and get a DBA account, doing business as, and open it up. there's always that first baby, not complicated, not hard, not really challenging first step. The good news is when you take that first step, the second step becomes apparent. It's not usually apparent until you've taken the step before it. And this is what I've found throughout my life is that I declare I'm going to do something. I get rid of the negativity, the limiting beliefs, the first pillar. And then the beginning steps are there, like call so-and-so, go read this book, go attend this seminar, take this action. I do it. Then the step after that becomes clear. This is a lot like if you were going to drive your car, like you're moving. So if you're leaving one state and you're going to another one, you already got your intention. I'm leaving here. I'm going over there. You don't see the whole road.
Right.
You only see to maybe the stop sign out of your house. So you pull out of the driveway and you can see to the stop sign. When you get to the stop sign, you can see to the next telephone pole. When you get to that telephone pole, you can see further. By doing that a little stretch at a time, you're going to make your move and you'll end up in your new place. It's the same thing for everybody. I say, just reduce all of this and do whatever is in front of you to do. I often say, do the step that's right where your shoes are. You're sitting, you're standing, your shoes are here. What's around you that you can do? That's the first step. Take it. Next step will become apparent.
Perfect. The next part of it is we get into the mysticism, and you mentioned, I think being present is so important, and allowing yourself to receive, allowing spirit to work through you. How can people add that special sauce, if you will, which is the wind at your sails of the spirituality coming through by being present? And how can people learn how to be more present instead of always reacting to things?
Yeah. Well, they say it's all a practice. You know, our meditation is a practice. Transformation is a practice. In the beginning, what we're doing is willfully reminding ourselves to do these exercises, to pause, to look within, and to do our best to connect to the spirit that's behind everything. In the book, Zero Limits Living, I have a witness meditation. And this witness meditation I've been doing for a decade or maybe two decades at this point. I'm going to walk people through it right now because they can follow along with my verbal instruction on how to do this. So we were talking about thoughts. People right now, they're listening, they're watching, they're having thoughts. And they're thinking about, what is he talking about? Or they're excited and going, oh, I love where this is going. Or, oh, I'm going to go get his book. Or, oh, I have to go make lunch. You know, there's all kinds of thoughts that are going on. And so I tell people, just be aware that those thoughts are going on. And furthermore, be aware, you're not those thoughts. You're having thoughts. So you can tell me what they are, or you can write them down. You can be aware of them, and you can describe them because you are not them. This is the first insight. You are not your thoughts. You're observing them. The second step is to look at your physical body. And right now, maybe you're comfortable, maybe you're not comfortable, maybe you need to fidget a little bit in your chair, maybe your back has a little twing to it, and so you're adjusting so it's a little bit more comfortable. But notice, you're reporting on your body. You are observing your body. In many ways, you are on the inside of it, and it's your astronaut costume. It is your outfit that you happen to be in right now. And because you can observe it and describe it and be in it, looking out of it, you start to realize, I'm not my body either. So now we know you're not your thoughts. You have them, but you're not them. And you're not your body. You're in one, but you're not yet. And then the third thing is to look behind the emotions. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're happy. Maybe you're angry, sad, grieving. There's any number of things, just blissful. And so you can describe those feelings of what my emotions are right now. But notice it's the same thing. You're having them. You're observing them. You can describe them, but you're not them. And so the witness meditation that I'm getting to is to realize that part of you that's witnessing the thoughts and that part of you that is witnessing the body and that part of you that is witnessing the emotions is the divine. That part that's behind all of the theater of reality is the same part in you and the same part in me. at that level of witness, of observer, that's where we're all one. The more we can treat this as a daily meditation, or even throughout the day, reminding ourselves, okay, I'm not my body, I'm not my mind, I'm not my emotions, and that witness is behind everything. Tuning into it will help it allow itself to guide you, or you allow yourself to be guided by it. So all of this is to move in the direction of, there is a power source inside of you, behind everything that we are so attached to, that will live through us, that will guide us, that will illuminate us. I think the whole lightning strike that led to the book, Zero Limits Living, came from the divine. That's not Joe's ego. That's not something I read. That's not something that I was manufacturing in some sort of type A behavior and associating left brain and right brain and past experience. None of that. This was a divine strike. And then I acted on the rest, and, you know, clean up my mind about sharing this, take action to write it all down, turn it into a course, and then pay attention to the divine, because it's leading me, as it will lead all of us if we just tune in.
Absolutely amazing.
What I would share with people.
The importance of meditation, Dr. Joe, you describe the witness meditation in the book, and you've tried lots of different types of meditation. I guess we could consider Ho'oponopono as a form of meditation.
Absolutely.
In a way. For people who, I found meditation has changed my life. I've been meditating for about 20 years. Bob Roth of the David Lynch Institute introduced me to TM. I took it. I've done 166 days in a row. I've never missed a day. And it's completely different, because sometimes I'm like, nothing's happening, is it? But then I notice my perspective has changed completely. It's just, I've calmed down in so many ways. And an issue comes up and I look at it and I deal with it and I witness it. And I don't get, you know, I don't get overburdened by things. I don't get super nervous about things anymore. And I attribute it to the TM or whatever type of meditation helping to just get myself in that position to observe and witness and then act with a lot more calm. Talk to us about meditation a little bit more, if you would, Dr. Joe, about what you learned over the years, how you've incorporated different types of meditation, how people can get over that hump of the monkey chatter, preventing them from getting into that state of relaxation.
Oh, another priceless question. Look, the evidence is overwhelming that meditation in any way, shape, or form helps us metaphysically, mentally, and physically. The payoffs from doing any form of meditation once a day, or often as in TM twice a day, are so crushingly overwhelming that you'd have to just turn a blind eye to all of it to reduce it or dismiss it. So meditation is already proven. It works. The real question is, what meditation do you do? And I think the first answer is, whatever meditation you will do is the meditation you should do. TM is probably one of the most popular ones. It was so popularized by the Beatles. It's still out there. There's scientific research behind it. Books alone just on TM as a meditation that teach people how to do it. And so I would easily endorse that. And of course, I've had my experience with that. And yes, you mentioned Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono is a meditation. It is a cleansing, clearing, spiritual meditation. It does have a purpose. The word Ho'oponopono means to make right. And what you're making right are your own perceptions of whatever you're looking at. Because most of us are looking at the things and we're calling them problems, whether we say, oh, that person is a problem or this situation is a problem. Where it's a problem is inside yourself. You called it a problem. Outside of yourself, other people would look at it and go, that's not a problem. That's not an issue. What's the problem here? Problem is your perception. So Ho'oponopono helps you clean up the perception. But in order to do Ho'oponopono, even if it's as simple as I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you, is you've got to make the time to do it, which is like 3 seconds. And so all of these meditations, I've been doing meditations of one short sort or another for, I don't know, I want to say 50 years. And I've done meditations that were active meditations, meaning there was one called dynamic meditation that was done by a guru by the name of Rajneesh. And his dynamic meditation had you jumping up and down for like 10 minutes, jumping up and down like you're in the gym. You're jumping up and down for 10 minutes, and then there's another, the next stage was another 10 minutes, and I think you were screaming the word who. And then there was another one. I think the next stage was dancing, probably uninhibited improvisational dance. And then the fourth was stillness. Well, all of those first three steps was to get you to be able to be still. That was the logical reason for this spiritual meditation. And I love that at the time, today I wouldn't do it. It's not, I can get the stillness far quicker than having to run a marathon before I'm worn out. So there's all kinds of meditations that people want to poke around. For me, the witness meditation, the one I just guided people through, I think that's an easy one for anybody to just kind of begin with, because I'm asking them to sit still and pay attention to their mind. You pointed out, what about the monkey mind? And it starts talking. You have to realize that's what it is. It's the monkey mind. It's going to chatter. It seems like it's the nature of the human experience. A technique I learned fairly recently was go ahead and listen to it. Just go ahead and listen to it. Instead of arguing with the monkey mind or dismissing the monkey mind or trying to push it into a box or lock it into a closet, just go, what are you trying to tell me? And the monkey mind's going to go, oh, I don't trust that person and this, that, and the other, and they're going to rip you off and this, that. And you listen and go, what else do you want to say about this person? And you kind of exhaust it because it gets to talk to the point where it feels like, well, I got nothing else to say. And at that point, the monkey can quietly sit in a corner and have a coconut water. And you can go and meditate a little bit and relax. So I would invite people to find a meditation, whether it's TM or Rajneesh or any number of ones, or the witness meditation or Ho'oponopono or something else, because the benefits are overwhelming, overwhelming. Find a way to meditate and do it.
Awesome. My special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, the one and only, the amazing Dr. Joe Vitale. We're talking about his new book, Zero Limits Living. He's an author, a speaker, a musician. I believe you have a great set of guitars, a Flying V in your collection, I believe, Dr.
Joe. I do. Well, I have a lot of guitars. I do. They're very unique, boutique, unusual in one form or another. Yeah, I love them. I love them. They're playable art.
So in the book, there's also a Q&A session, which is a section which is very good. And I just highlighted one, which I thought was worth talking about. And that is, you say that how desires limit us. And most people, they want to have an intention to get started. And like, well, how can a desire limit me if I need an intention to get what I want?
Yes. Well, this is what I mean about the further insights that have come from my own evolutionary path. Because I'm still meditating, I'm still practicing gratitude and forgiveness, I'm still in the human experience here, I still have my growth spurts. And so at one point, I'm in the movie The Secret telling people to state their intentions, and I'm writing books like The Attractor Factor telling people intentions rule the earth. But I keep growing, and I keep getting insights, and then one day I realize, wait a minute, most of the intentions we state are limitations. Why? Because they're based on what we think is possible. Mm-hmm. And why do we base it on that? Because that's our belief system. We grow up in a culture, in a family, in a school system, in a religious system, media system, that kind of teaches us unconsciously, here's the limits to life. You can do this, but you can't do this. And we don't think about it. We don't question it because it's pretty much unconscious. We downloaded it from the environment around us. And so when you get somebody that's excited like me and I'm encouraging and I have that childlike wonder and enthusiasm and I say, hey, you can have, do, or be whatever you want. And I truly mean it. But what people select as their intention is based on their past experiences of what they believe is possible. So there's a built-in limitation. Now, what I tell people that's better than their built-in limitations as intentions is an inspiration. Because the inspiration, like the one that hit me, the thunderbolt I keep referring to, the lightning strike from the divine, that comes out of nowhere and blows your mental limitations away. They melt down. You end up with a new reality and a new way of looking at reality because you're no longer coming from those limitations. This is why this goes back to meditation. It's why it's so important to find a way to connect to the divine. My book is called Zero Limits Living. When we connect to the divine, we can experience zero limits living. That's truly where anything is possible, because the divine God, whatever you want to call this greater force that we're all part of, that's animating all of us, it doesn't have any limits. Zero. We're the one projecting our limitations on what's possible. So
the divine doesn't have any limits, and the divine lives to us, so we have no limits, right?
If we get out of the way, we can put limitations on the divine. Clearly, it's like there's an ocean of power that can come flooding through us, but we got this tiny little faucet and this little pipe. If we just let it drip through, it's like, okay, drip a little bit of abundance here. Okay, a little bit more abundance here. There's an ocean waiting.
How did you get yourself in a position mentally, spiritually, physically, to know that the opportunity, that the secret brought to you was available to you? And how did you go about the decision-making process? Because you went through a time where you were homeless, you lived in a library, you read all these self-help books, you got yourself up on your feet, you did some wonderful things, you got a phone call about the secret. You probably didn't know at the time what it was going to turn into, yet you were present and you were allowing yourself to receive. What do you think happened with that, Joe?
That's a wonderful question, because I need everybody to understand what I went through. Yes, I got the phone call. Yes, it was an opportunity. But no, I didn't know that it would go anywhere. I didn't know that it would mean anything. And nobody knew that the movie would make history, that it would be seen by millions around the planet, and still is today, 16, 17 years later. But in that moment of the phone call that I got, I almost said no. And I remember telling Rhonda, who was calling me personally back then, and I was answering my phone back then, and I said, I'm too busy. I got too many things to do. I've got these schedules. I got people on deadlines that need stuff from me. I can't take the time to do this. And she said, look, I will fly you from Austin, which is where I was living at the time, to Chicago, direct first-class flight. I need you for 2 hours in Chicago. I'll put you on another flight, first-class direct, and you'll be home the same day. I still thought I might say no. What I've learned, and this is the reason I'm telling the story in this way, and I'm being a little theatrical in how I'm expressing this, what I've learned is saying yes is the answer to transforming your life. I said yes, and I've learned to say yes even when it's scary, when it's unknown, when you have no immediate payoff, that you don't know how the chips are going to land, but you're paying attention to something resonating in you, your internal guidance system, your own GPS, God power system, if you will. You're paying attention to that. It's saying, you know, you should do this. Say yes. I said yes. And she kept her word. I went up there, did the filming, came back, didn't think too much about it. But 6 months later, the earth exploded. on planet Earth, and it hasn't stopped yet.
You're doing wonderful work. The thing I think everybody needs to know out there about Dr. Joe and what he's doing is that he's not only spiritual and does the work in terms of gathering the information and serving it up to help us, but he's very practical, because we do live in a practical world. Dr. Joe, you are a blessing. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for being on Guys Guys Radio. I love speaking with you. I love your books. I love Ho'oponopono. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I say that sincerely.
I know you do. I am very grateful, very honored, very humbled to be here. Love you, love what you're doing, love the difference you're making. So Godspeed to you and all the people watching or listening. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Joe.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
That was a fantastic conversation with Dr. Joe Vitale. I have to say, that was one of our best conversations we've had here on Guys Guys Radio. And I have had over 700 conversations with some of the most thought-provoking thought leaders in the world, and Dr. Joe is one of my favorites, and there's a reason why. He's brilliant, he's fun, he's fast, and he's practical, and I love the new book, Zero Limits Living go out and get yourself a copy. It's all based on these three tenets, the pillars, as Dr. Joe says, mindset, motion, mysticism. And just quickly, what did we learn today? I think just as a review, the mindset, when you want to get things done, you have to be in the right frame of mind. So Dr. Joe goes through a whole process in terms of how you get into that proper mindset to make things happen. And then how do you get started? How do you take that all-important first step? Because if you don't do anything, nothing happens. You can have all of the concepts and inspiration that you want, but you've got to do stuff. Motion is the second pillar, and it's all about how to get started and how to follow through and how to stick to it also, because it's so easy to, you try something and then you let it go, you just drop it. And it's consistency and routine are, to me, some of the main pillars of my life. The third pillar that Dr. Joe talks about is mysticism, is really connecting with source and letting God, if you will, work through us. Because as Dr. Joe says, and I believe, we are spiritual beings living in a human body. And if you think of it that way, versus we're a human body having a spiritual, you know, having some type of connection to spirituality, if you think that we're spiritual beings and we're in a human incarnation, it changes everything in a very beautiful way. So Dr. Joe talks about that and how to connect to source and how to trust in source and how to ask source for help. I'm in the process of moving right now, and it's been so many things have been happening off the wall, kind of random things that have been really challenges, and like it all happens at once sometimes, right? And I had to get to the point where I asked for help. I asked my guides, I asked spirit, I asked my angels, I asked for help. And I was, you know, in that position where you think, am I just talking to myself? Is nothing out there? And then, not instantly, but things over the next day or so began to fall together. And it just changed my mindset. It changed my outlet. It relaxed me because I felt that I was getting help. I truly believed that I was helped. And that's a really good thing. And when we believe, things happen. And if you go into these situations where you're challenged and you don't believe, well, sometimes things don't happen. So I personally believe in believing. And Dr. Joe does also, and mysticism is that third pillar, how to connect with source to help make things happen and help overcome obstacles and help get through challenging situations. Till next week, like I always say, see you then. And guys, finish first.